Susan.
And this is Portia.
And welcome to She Speaks Stories. And today we are interviewing my favorite person in the world and the person I love most in the world, my husband, Ed Wanderer. And it's going to be so good. It's going to be so good. Friends, if you have ever walked down the road of depression or anxiety or any kind of mental health concern that is for you personally or for your family member or anyone you love, today is your episode. Because 2020 was a difficult year for Ed. But man, we are on this side of it victorious, so we're able to see it on this side. But 2020 was hard for many people. And I also know not only was it hard for many people just because of the pandemic, but mental health concerns rose substantially across the globe. Mm-hmm. And we experienced a bit of that. And so today we get to share a little bit, or Ed's going to share a little bit about what his story was in 2020 about that.
I love that so much. I love that we get to have the opportunity to have a mister, if you will, on the show today, because I know where she speaks stories, but he speaks stories because God loves his sons just as much as his daughters. Those of you that have been listening for a long time, you may remember that in 2020, summer of 2020, I had the opportunity to actually be with my She Speaks family. And so that was the time that I got to meet Ed in person for the first time, which was so great, because now I feel like my circle is complete within the Wanderers, because now I know everyone. I mean, not their whole entire family, but, you know, their immediate family.
I love it. I love it.
And so, listeners, we pray before we hop on and do these podcasts. And one of the things that we pray today is that when you hear Ed's story, there will be something that sparks in your heart, that you will dare to believe that what God did for him, God can also do for you. It'll look different because you're a different person. But God will and can move in your life just like he moves in other people's lives.
Yeah. I believe that. That's good.
So good. Are you ready to dive in without further ado? Should we officially introduce Mr. Ed Wanderer?
We shall. Let's do it.
All right. Ed Wanderer grew up in Washington, D.C. suburb in a loving family and life overflowing with books, sports, and exploring the U.S. and Europe with his parents and grandparents. Marrying the love of his life, yeah, he did. They went on to adopt three beautiful children, continuing their own legacy of loving well. Ed has battled depression and anxiety since his second year of college until now. Fortunately, not continuously. He and his doctor have used counseling and medicine to keep anxiety at bay, adjusting as needed. But as the bleakness of the COVID-19 pandemic grew, so did Ed's depression and anxiety. Lean into his powerful story of hope. Ed, we are so, so excited to have you with us.
Welcome, honey.
I'm excited to be here. This will be great to tell the story. I hope it helps people.
It will. All right, let's dive into the first question. When did you experience your first bout of depression?
So ever since my second year of college until now, not continuously, but, you know, I definitely dealt with that almost on an ongoing basis. Looking back, I had an extremely supportive set of parents who gave me a great childhood filled with great memories exploring the U.S. and Europe with them and my grandparents. I was in Boy Scouts and then at athletics as well. I know now that my activity level could have prevented me from getting anxious or depressed earlier. Mm-hmm. I rode crew in high school and had an exciting freshman year of crew at the University of Miami. The 95-96 time frame.
He still has a great love for his Hurricanes.
Yeah, I do. By the end of my freshman year, my back was hurting from the scoliosis and my love of crew was fading, so I decided to quit crew. Returning to college for my second year, I experienced depression for the first time, and I called my parents daily to report feeling a constant heavy anxiousness, sadness, and hopelessness. My parents remained supportive, but I knew they were concerned I had a chemical imbalance in my brain. And while I was home at the winter break, my doctor prescribed an antidepressant. And by day 10, the serotonin levels in my brain began adjusting. Mm-hmm. Serotonin is the key hormone that stabilizes our mood, mm-hmm. feelings of well-being and happiness. I enrolled in the local community college in Annandale, Virginia, during that time so that I could kind of get adjusted and ease my transition. After a few months of ups and downs, I stabilized. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know God yet, but I was in awe of the power of science. And when the semester ended, I enrolled in George Mason up in Fairfax, Virginia, and finished college.
Mm-hmm. I love the fact that your parents, number one, were supportive.
Yeah.
And the last statement that you said, that you were in awe of the power of science, because what I just jotted down was the power of medicine, because I believe that God uses medicine. He's given doctors and scientists wisdom to understand how our bodies function in order to come up with these different medications that can assist us when we need it. And I can't shout that enough of take your meds.
Yeah. Yeah. So much so. And I think we underestimate, sometimes I believe Christians get a bad rap sometimes because there are, and I'm just going to say, sometimes there are those who say, well, God will heal me.
Right.
Or God, if I pray hard enough, God will heal me.
Right.
Here's what I have to say about that. I too believe that God will heal us.
Yeah.
And I believe he does it sometimes through medicine.
Yeah.
And I believe that he has enabled science and doctors and nurses and caregivers to be able to be the ones that are able to say, here is how your brain is going to be healed.
Yes.
Here is how the cancer is going to be healed.
Yes.
Things like that. And here's how you have diabetes and you are going to be cared for.
That's
and I
right.
think when we remove science and God, it's not, there's no wisdom in that, because God is the creator of all of this.
Absolutely.
And he gave these doctors great minds to help us.
Yes. There's
so I can get on that soapbox for a while.
one of the names of God, or one of the attributes of God, is that he's omniscient, meaning that he's all knowing. And if you break that word down there in the middle, you're going to see that root psi in there, because he knows stuff. I know you can say omniscient and then just come back with the word stuff, but just that balance of big words and little words. And I live in a small world with little people.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I love it.
We want to continue in your story. So there was a road trip to Miami that happened. What took place on that road trip?
Okay, so during my third year of college, my best friend Chris joined me on a road trip from Virginia to Miami, Florida. And on the road, Chris asked me what I thought of there being a God who was in control of everything and not me. I grew up Unitarian, and I was used to looking for truth and meaning in everyday discussions. The gospel had never been presented to me in this way before. And Chris explained what Jesus had done on the cross and our path to salvation. Choosing Christ was the major turning point in my life. Chris went on to invite me to his men's small group of very high quality guys, very unlike what I had seen in college, where I'd seen a lot of drinking and stuff. And I just never got exposed to Christians or like intervarsity or anything. And when I was at these drinking parties, wondering if there was more to life than this, I stayed in the group even after I graduated. I didn't have any major issues of depression and anxiety for the rest of college, aside from a bad day here and there. And I got depressed again. You know, I graduated in 2000. I got depressed again in like about 2003. had to make a medication change, and did really well without anxiety or depression for about 14 years. Life was, you know, going pretty good. And I peaked in 2005 when I started leading a small group of Christians, got a much better job, and met the love of my life, Susan, online. Susan and I married in 2007, and in June of 2011, we adopted 3 siblings from Ethiopia.
Well, I want to pause for 1 second before we go to the next question. That road trip with Chris changed everything. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear this dog, and it is not our dog, and we're just going to keep going with this because that is not our dog. It's our neighbor's dog. And the reason that we were out on our back porch, my friends, is because it's the quietest place in the Wanderer home.
We all live real life, and it's fine. It's totally fine.
There you go.
And it's still not quiet enough.
It's still not quiet enough. So, anyway, on to it. This is what I will say. I want to say something very quickly about Chris. Chris and Ed have been best friends in second grade and
middle school.
Yeah, middle school. Sorry, middle school. Yeah, very long time since middle school. And I adore Chris Osthaus more than you can even imagine because he loved and loves my husband so well. Mm-hmm. And on that road trip, he just asks simple questions about Jesus and Christianity and the Bible. And he was so patient in that road trip all the way down to Miami and answering Ed is very inquisitive and a very big researcher. And mm-hmm. I love that about him. Mm-hmm. And I loved that Chris was so patient with him in answering all of his Jesus questions.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's such an example to me of, when we encounter people that are curious in their faith journey, how he has been loving Ed well since middle school.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until college that he chose Christ. And I'm thinking, look at all those years that Chris loved him well.
Right.
And even now, Chris just loves him well. He'll reach out. And I mean, I told Ed, I said, I will pretty much stop and do anything for anyone. Mm-hmm. But if Chris Osthaus called here tomorrow and said, Wanderers, I need you. He lives in Pennsylvania now. Wanderers, I need you right now. I would immediately get in the car and go straight there. And I'm not even that close with him. And it's because of how well he loved my husband. And I just want to say, we can never underestimate our ongoing presence over time.
Right.
It matters in the life of humans.
Right.
And when we are present in someone's life over time, it matters in their spiritual health. It matters in their mental health. It matters when we show up for our people.
Absolutely. Because it plants seeds. And God's word says some plant seed, others water, but it's the Lord who brings the harvest. And
right.
I think in the same way that God knows every single day of our life, he knew, it's time. It's time. My son, Ed, he is about to get how much I love him. I can only imagine how excited our Heavenly Father was in that story. That's such a great encouragement, Susan and Ed.
I love I love their friendship. I do. I just love their friendship. But anyway. All right, honey. Next question, right? Okay. So what seemed to be some factors that brought on the next major anxiety and depression?
It was brought about by the struggles of parenting, and mostly when I felt my performance as a parent didn't measure up, my main reassurance in that came from my wife, who would remind me of how God sees me as enough, and that He loves me and has promises for my life and my family. By 2017, the pressure to stay on top of my responsibilities as a parent and employee in a high-pressure job with a 50-mile, 8-lane commute was intense.
You gotta love 95,
And one day I just kind of snapped, and I had a major panic attack coming off of Interstate 95. I was disoriented and I barely seemed to be able to control the car. I mean, it was psychological, but as the pounding anxiety was like, you know, filling me up inside, it would take 6 months for me to make my way back on the road and on the highway after that. I relapsed again in 2018, and by 2019 we found a combination of medicines that put me back together.
What I'll say about that is that Ed called me. This is just my version, a little bit of it, is that he called me one night, and you know, we were 50 miles apart, and he called me and he was like, I'm in a parking lot and I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And so I drove over and got him, and we left the car there. And what I'll say is this, what I realize is that sometimes the things that are happening in our lives, mm-hmm. they are not causing the anxiety or the depression, meaning mm-hmm. Our kids and our jobs were not the cause of our anxiety or depression. Right. Ed was battling the feeling of, am I enough? Am I a good dad? Am I being a good provider? Am mm-hmm. I doing these things? Because it's this weird feeling of, I love my kids more than my next breath of air, but am I good at being a right. dad? Am I good at being a mom? And I think every person listening to this can relate to that yeah. because every parent has stopped to say, I'm just going to say this because this sounds crash, but mm. I mean, I ask it, I'll be like, man, I suck as a mom today.
Right. Like, no, I've been there.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were in these seasons where we were like, are we taking care of them well enough? Like, right. and you know, we were new to this. We were all new to this. And then our, you know, his job was a very high stress job. And then you add on top of that, the insanity of I-95.
Yeah.
All of it was a beautiful storm of anxiety. Mm-hmm. All of it was. Mm-hmm. But man, he came out on the other side of it so lovely. I mean, he really did. He really did. Okay, so honey, so talk to us about what happened during COVID.
The COVID pandemic hit, you know, in 2020. And I had trouble driving again and had to start from the ground up. The medicines never seemed right after that. And the process to find the right meds was long and difficult. I felt very anxious and depressed, and even had to overcome driving all over again. Mm. just when my hope was nearly gone, I was presented with the option of a 2-week outpatient treatment program in Snowden, which is a local behavioral acute care facility here in Virginia. I decided to do it. Snowden has two main instructors that were no nonsense and pushing positive thinking and self-care. It was a safe environment with people highly trained in their field. I got to talk through my issues and learn how to steady myself when the sorrow comes in. It was pretty cool. There was actually art, dance, and music therapy, all very fun and uplifting. The program incorporated a lot of classwork to learn coping skills. The new meds I was taking kicked in, and by the second week, I got to grow into my chipper self again.
Mm-hmm. Chipper self. He was back.
I left the program thinking that I'm better. Things were good for several weeks, and my wife and I went on a vacation over a weekend. It was kind of rainy, and I felt like it's starting to happen again. And I suggested to my psychiatrist that we try a medicine that he had suggested before, and it it actually made all the difference in the world. And I've been back on that since last November of 2020. And Susan made a prayer. She made a prayer wall, which I still love to look at and get into the Word, and entitled "He is Able." And it was comprised of some of the verses in the Bible talking about God's protection and healing. And I read through them every day. One of our pastors at our church, John Cook, recommended that I walk 5 times a week. And that was very helpful. That was something as well that, that's really important keep the anxiety at bay.
Yeah.
I love so much of that. Can I just say that you didn't just have, and listeners, I've seen a picture of the prayer wall. So it's not just something that's up in Ed and Susan's house. If you heard him, he said, and I would read them. I would read what the scripture said, because I think sometimes as believers or as people who have any type of any light familiarity with the things of God, they think, well, maybe if I carry my Bible around, maybe if I wear this cross, maybe if I put scripture up, but if we don't read it, if we don't ingest it, if we don't take it in, if we don't think about it, if we don't listen to it, sometimes there are moments when I can't read myself, but I will listen to the Word of God be read over me, so that I'm able to take it in. And so, because God's Word is not a good luck charm, it's not a magic spell, it is living and active and powerful when we take it up into our lives, by whichever means necessary, having someone read it, reading it ourselves, putting it in different places. So every time you turn a corner, you see it. I mean, this, if I'm remembering correctly, your prayer wall, your scriptures, it's in your bedroom, right, Ed?
Yeah, I put it actually on his side of the long wall in our bedroom is right beside his side of the bed.
Got it.
So I made it so that when he would sit up in the morning, it was the first thing he could see.
Come on.
And when he would go to bed tonight at night, it was the last thing he could see. And so that he was, and I will tell you this, during 2020, there were some days I would find him just sitting on our bed, looking at that wall.
Yes.
Like just looking, because, I would tell him there is no shame when you don't have the emotional or mental energy to read the Bible yourself. There's no shame in that. Mm-hmm. There's no shame in feeling like God is far from you.
Right.
Because you feel that way. Yeah. And so I thought in creating that wall, there was no work for him to have to do, because he was already working so hard in everything that he was doing. So he would just sit there and just read them. Mm-hmm. And some of them are prayers, and most of them are scripture written into prayers.
Yep.
And so he would just sit there, and I would see him just looking at the wall. And I'm like, and as I would see that, I would just say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, may they go into his heart and hold and grip it tight. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you this, when he says November 2020, it was a new day. Ed, I'll explain it like this. Yesterday we were sitting down, having breakfast with my aunts, that were in here visiting from South Carolina. And, we were talking about, we got on the subject of, depression, losing weight, different things like that. And we were talking about a little bit about Wander On, which we've talked about on here before, and how we're seeing people that are starting to participate in Wander On by walking, like he's talking about, Pastor John said, walk, how their depression is lifting. And we were talking about that. And so one of my aunts or somebody at the table asked, how is Ed different from 2020 than he is right now? And Deborah spoke up with the sweetest answer. And she said, my dad's back. He's just back. And God took care of him. And we watched God heal him, and he's back. Wow. And I could have burst into tears, because I will say this, we did not hide Ed's sadness in 2020 from our kids. And, you know, a lot of parents may differ on that opinion, but when we were going through this, I found myself one day saying to Joshua, I'm so sorry this is happening, buddy. And Joshua looked at me and said, Mom, dad walked me through sadness. Why would we not walk him through his?
Wow.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're right. Like, why am I apologizing? And I will say, I mean, when Dib answered so solidly at that table yesterday morning, my dad's back. Mm-hmm. God's brought my dad back. And I was like, I love this. I love that God is a God of restoration and God is a God of showing up for his kids. Because Ed now, you know, when in December, when I found myself getting into this pit of, honey, I am the heaviest I've ever been, Ed was championing me.
Right.
He was like, honey, we can do this. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. And so Ed and I this past week celebrated losing 100 pounds together, like together collectively.
That's not amazing.
Yet.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But I will say he champions that. And just even in when he said before earlier in his story that crew probably kept a lot of that mental illness away.
Sure.
Because he was so active in high school.
Right.
And then that his activity went down. Well, since he and I are making an effort of walking or wandering and if I don't go one day, he is still going.
Yeah.
And you can tell it is part of the way God designed our body, part of the science of how God designed our body. When we are active, we are mentally more aware and we are mentally more whole. Does that make sense?
That makes such good sense. I want followers of Jesus to hear what we are saying. There is not one thing that Ed has said that has helped him in his journey. It is a multitude of things.
That is right.
Doctors, it is counselors, it is a community around him. It is, in this case, his wife and his family around him. But what I want you guys, because I'm even screaming it to myself, Ed has not done this by him alone. He hasn't done this in a vacuum or in a silo. And God sets the lonely in families. And it doesn't have to be your bio family, but there is aid and support that the Lord provides for us through other people, through our doctors, through our therapists and psychologists that help us be whole. Because I believe with all of my heart that God desires for us to be whole. And I wish that it would be those moments where it's just, especially with mental illness, that it's like, I touch you and you are healed. And I'm sure there are testimonies that are like that. But more often than not, there is a process. Something else, Ed, that you said is that at Snowden, they taught you coping mechanisms. So when the sadness comes in, you have something healthy to turn to instead of a spiral into dark depression. And as Susan was just saying, some of that coping is walking. My doctor tells me all the time, just like walk and remind your body that you are okay. And as you're doing that, what is the, it's not the opposite of serotonin, but something else that our body builds up, cortisol.
Yes.
When we walk or when we are active, it helps the cortisol levels within our physical bodies to go down.
That's right.
So I just want listeners to know and to hear, it's not that I'm saying Jesus is not enough, because Jesus is. But in the answers that God gives us through his son, Jesus, there are other things that are often included.
Well, and I believe so correctly, Portia, I believe that Jesus created community. He loves community and he loves it when people are joined together in creating the best outcome. And I'll tell you, the entire reason we found out about Snowden is because I go see a counselor and Ed sees a counselor and they're in the same practice. And what I love is when I was with my counselor, Barbie, and we were sitting here through 2020 and I would be sitting lamenting on her couch, crying and praying for Ed. She finally looked at me one day and she went, you know what? I think Ed would benefit from Snowden. And so then Barbie talked to Ed's counselor and was like, and he was like, absolutely. And so then tell me that God did not knit all of that together, our counselor being able to coordinate together. And then I will say this, our family benefits from Snowden because Ed came out of Snowden with such wisdom that when any of us are having any struggles, Ed is able to say, you know what? I think this might be helpful. This might be helpful. And I'm like, look at you, PhD. I mean, he totally... It's like he is leading his family in such a way that mental health is not a stigma.
No.
It is every human, whether they will admit it or not, struggles with a sadness or an anxiety or a nervousness. But if we push it in the corner of shame and say, I don't need a counselor, I don't need help, I don't need any of this, then I will say this, the enemy is winning.
Yep.
Because he wants you to be isolated, alone, and thinking you can get better on your own when Jesus created community to help us all get better.
Yes.
And man, I mean, I know I'm rambling right now. I just cannot say enough good things about what you said, Portia, in that medicine alone, not going to do it. Mm-hmm. Counseling alone, not going to do it. Mm-hmm. Good community, not going to do it. Just the word, not going to do it. Mm-hmm. You know what Jesus does? He uses all of these things together to make you a whole person.
Yes.
And oh my goodness, how I love it. Oh my goodness.
I love it so much. I think it's amazing. I think this is such a necessary message and story, Ed. And we're going to ask you the last question that we ask all our guests here in a minute, but just know it's just so needed to hear, this was my story, this was my journey. Because I know the enemy, Susan, you alluded to this, he gains a victory when we keep things in the dark and in silence.
That's right.
And the more that people talk about things, the more that there's awareness and there's more of, oh, I don't have to stay in this place. And so I applaud your courage. I applaud your willingness to share what God has done, because as you share, you're just solidifying the victory that God has already done in you and continuing to spread the circle, if you will, of freedom to other people. It's an invitation. Your story is literally inviting other people to step into new levels of freedom. And I cannot thank you enough for that.
I love that, Portia. And here's the last thing I'm going to say before we ask him this last question is, one thing about Ed's story that I think if you are not currently struggling with any bit of, anxiety or depression or any kind of mental health issue, here's one thing I do want you to know that you need to hear as just a human being. When Ed first started this journey, the thing that I loved the most about hearing his story before I even met him is his parents were so present for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chris, so present for him. Mm-hmm. Then his counselors, so present for him. Our family, so present for him. And so if you are listening to this and you are not struggling, but perhaps you know someone that is, your presence is needed.
That's
because
good.
His mom and his sister and his dad, they were present for him. And they still are. They still are. Our family, present. Our friends, present. And I think sometimes we underestimate what our presence means in the lives of somebody who is struggling. So if you're ever wondering, well, I don't have a degree in that, I don't know how to fix it, just show up.
Yeah.
Just answer the phone when they call and say, hey, you doing okay today? And if they're not doing okay, let them talk. Mm-hmm. Because that's what, even during this last, in 2020, if I was not available, Ed would call his mom or his sister or his dad, and they would just listen. They would just listen. Uh-huh. And I'm like, dude, let's just be present for each other. Let's be a present community. So anyway,
That's good. So Ed, our last question that we ask all of our guests is if you could leave us just this, let me try one more time. If you could leave us with just one idea today, what would it be?
Well, God healed me, and he did it supernaturally. He did it through science and through many people, like Susan mentioned, being present, so powerful. And, you know, through my family, my parents, my sister, and Susan's parents, all the support I got, even from my kids. You know, I mean, they're, you know,
they're amazing.
Kids are amazing too. And, you know, also through the other outpatients at Snowden and, the skilled men and women who work there and, in the counseling practice that Susan mentioned, Greg Traber and Barbie Canord. I also have a, you know, one thing it's also really critical is I found an amazing psychiatrist, which is often hard to find. And so I hope my story is an is an encouragement to anyone going through anxiety and depression that it may be a long and painful road. But I want to share a powerful word with you that a psychiatrist told me back in 96 after I was calling him and, you know, feeling hopeless and feeling doubt, you know, complete doubt. And he says in this powerful voice, he picks up the phone and says, you will get better. Mm. There is powerful medicine, you know, to treat you. And even better than that, now I know the creator who made my recovery happen, and mm-hmm. praises to him.
I love that, honey. Yeah. I love that.
I love that's that so very good. Much.
Yeah.
This is good, and this is powerful on so many levels, mm-hmm. on so many levels, because you're a regular guy living mm-hmm. your life, loving Jesus, that the fallenness and brokenness of our world has impacted you like it has all of us. And you took steps and God was there and he was present through all of the things that you just said. I really love, I wrote this down, is that God healed me supernaturally through science, through my family, through my yeah. friends. I mean, it just, that has been the theme that we're talking about, all the different methods that God heals us. And
yeah,
I can't thank you enough, Ed, for sharing your story and for being willing to open up such a tender place in your story, yeah. in your heart. It's just, I love you, brother. I really do love you. I applaud you. I know your kids. And for those that sometimes think I can only love my adopted kids so much, if you have kids in your home, you are their spiritual covering. If you have kids in your home, you are doing things by the choices that you make and how you walk out your relationship with Jesus. You are showing your children how to follow Jesus, how to be broken with Jesus, and how to be whole with Jesus. So make no mistake that the victory that has been won here, your kids will remember for the rest of their lives. And what God has done at this moment is going to impact your generations forever on this side of eternity. And so... I believe that's why the battle was as fierce as it was. And man, the best is yet to come, Ed Wanderer. I don't know what God has for you, but I know it's going to be good. And mm-hmm. listeners, I don't know what God has for you, but I know it's going to be good.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I love that. Well, and I'll say this, friends, if you have someone that you know that is struggling in any area like this, share this episode.
Yeah.
And may it serve as an encouragement to them that they are not alone in any way. Mm-hmm. Mental health is a real thing. And I think for too long, people have made it a taboo thing where mm-hmm. You don't want to talk about it. And you especially don't want to talk about it in the church, which is right. the silliest thing ever, because right. the church is where you come to be able to find healing.
Yeah.
And so God sees you, God hears you, God loves you. And if you even need to take one step today, mm-hmm. I would say one step is throw some scripture up on your wall that you can just stare at every day. That can be your one step. And then your next step is find a good community. Find a good community of people.
Yeah. Absolutely. So. I love that.
Portia, I'm so glad that you did this interview with us, because you walked this with us. And you and Gwen and Katie were some powerful prayer warriors for this man yes. and for our family during that year. And there would be some Fridays that we would log on to do a podcast episode. Mm-hmm. And the picture would pop up on the screen. And as soon as I saw you guys, I burst into tears. Because it had been such a hard day or something. Yeah, and you guys would just start praying. I mean, y'all would start praying. And you guys, your listeners know, Pastor Portia's prayers are powerful. And she would start praying heaven down. And I would be like, okay, I can move on to the next thing. And so I'm telling you, Portia, I appreciate the role that you and Gwen and Katie have played, because it has been, it's made an eternal difference in our souls mm-hmm. and in the souls of our kids, of how you guys loved us well through that year. And nothing will, I am eternally grateful for how you love my family and mm-hmm. how Gwen and Katie love our family. It's, I will say, like, even the first night that Ed was, first day that Ed was in Snowden, mm-hmm. Gwen showed up with a meal like that night. And you guys so kept sweet. Sending text messages all those that week saying how much you were praying. And we just cannot ever underestimate the power of the body of Christ yes. and how they hold our arms up when we feel so weak. Yeah. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. We love you guys. We love you listeners. And, you know, keep listening. Share us. Yeah. We like to be shared.
That's right. That's right. All right. We love you guys. And y'all have a great, great weekend.
All right. Next time. Bye.
Bye.